Howdy, folks, and welcome to Moose Podcast number 436, Songsters of the Wilderness. How you folks doing this week? Hey, you're going to be listening to this knowing that we've got new Super Bowl champions. I'm not going to be a spoiler in case you haven't heard the news yet, but wow, what a game. It's very cool. Well, it's a delightful minus 12 right now here at the old homestead. Birds are going through suet like crazy. Oh my gosh, going through the pounds of it. But a lot of females, including bileated woodpeckers. I know it's February 10th, but spring isn't that far away. So if you're thinking about doing nesting birds, now is the time to start making preparations, both finding where activity might be happening, as well as your gear. So I hope all that's making for a really great time, keeping warm and thinking inside. This podcast is coming through Adobe Beta Podcast using the AI voice at the 50 marker. I appreciate you, those of you who let me know how it sounds. It just makes life a whole lot simpler for me. Now, part of this is the transcript. So if you head to the blog post for the podcast, you'll find the transcript that's created by the Adobe Beta. It's not as good as the one that's done by Castro's that's posted at Spotify. So if you're looking for the better of the two transcripts, head to Spotify, which at the same time, you can head there and you can leave comments. Now, this past week had a couple of presentations. One was for the Scouters at Philmont. And it was really nice to see some familiar faces and hear from them that they're starting to listen to the podcast. And then I did another presentation, really delightful group of people in Livermore, and some more podcast fans. So I'm grateful for all of you, and that's why I'm here doing it. And, you know, you all tell me that there's always some nugget somewhere in all my dribble and drabble during this podcast. It just makes it worth your while. That just makes me very happy. So thanks so much for that feedback. Hey, had you heard the news? There's some stuff that's come out. So Bedford's at bedfords.com, sponsors of the Moose Podcast, is where you could go get the new Nikon P1100 Coolpix. It's a crazy camera that I see out used a lot by birders. Just a great digital camera with a huge long zoom lens. But probably a little bit more to our drool factor is the new Z35 1.2. Or receive emails. Yes, it's on my list. I need to check it out, but I already have the Z51.2 and love that lens. If you look at the photographs that McNally put out the Z35.1.2, God, they're luscious, gorgeous, gorgeous focus and light. Oh, how could you not want that lens? And of course, Bedford's is going to be the place for it. And to answer a couple questions this week while I talk about my friends at Bedford, that's where I get my Benro gear, is at Bedford's. They have all the gear that the Benro Mammoth and Wildlife Head, the Tortoise, and all those. Yeah, Bedford's. They're the ones, man. I call them up. You can call them up. You say, this is what I would like to accomplish. What do you suggest? And they're going to make suggestions for you. Doesn't make a difference. The brand doesn't mean the difference. The genre you photograph. Bedford's camera are just great people. They're pros at what they do, and they're there to help us, us being photographers, just be a little bit better and more successful at it. So check them out. Call them up. Go to one of their many stores, bedfords.com, and make sure, here's the key here, you tell them that I sent you. It's going to save you 5% after you check out. So that's Bedfords, bedfords.com. So I have a book recommendation for you, a little bit of an older one, but it's probably proved itself more than a lot of books, especially one that is, God, I went and looked at the date, it scared me, 1981, The Wolf, simple title, The Wolf, by L. David Meek. Now, I was shocked when I went to look up some things about, you know, and one of them was that my autographed copy is now worth over $2,700. So you don't need to go buy an autographed copy, but you need to go out and get The Wolf by L. David Meek. He wrote the book, literally, figuratively, on wolves. And he did it long before the introduction of wolves in Yellowstone. They used his book in many ways, and he went there personally to look at what was going on there. But this is the guy, he put in a lot of field time. And if you haven't put in field time, you don't understand the dedication it takes to sit and look when there ain't nothing to see, waiting for that one moment, and then you make a whole lot of observations and notes. Well, he did that for a long time, and then he put it all together, and The Wolf is an amazing book. It will grab your imagination, and it will give you a lot of information you need as photographers. If you want to photograph any canine, especially wolves. So that's The Wolf by L. David Meek, 1981. Songsters of the Wilderness. I thought this would be a good month for me to do a critter story about wolves. Now, it was early 1980s. And Sharon and I were in the thick of seeing, witnessing, and photographing California's wild heritage. A lot of it was vanishing. We have a distinct species in our slide files. It's a fact that I never take pride in. It always upsets me. Well, one of the species that we were way too late to see were the wolves. They got extirpated from California probably no later than 1910, somewhere in there. You know, they started by 1890s. They were hardly ever seen, if they were at all. And after 1910, they weren't seen, period. And they're kind of a success story because they've come back to California. That just speaks to this incredible critter, this songster of the wilderness. Well, in my trying to see and put together all the tapestry that is California's wild heritage, Sharon and I headed up to Alaska because that's where some of the stuff still flourished. Back then, and this would have been 1985, we got what was called a pro pass. You submitted to the Park Service, had to literally show that you were a professional, send in tear sheets and things like that, and state why you wanted to go up there, and you should have access to the backcountry unfettered. No one was going to, you know, supervise you or anything. You're on your own. Well, 1985, we got our first one. And we're in the backcountry. So we've gone past the last checkpoint, and we've gone in, and we're in the backcountry. And way off in the distance, I saw a speck. It was on the road. And the road is a gravel road. And it's coming at us. And then all of a sudden, it clicked in my head. Well, that's a wolf. I mean, we're out in the middle of nowhere, and here's a wolf. So we pull over. I do my usual thing, even way back then. And I got out the 7200 and stuck it on the camera. And then I leaned against the front tire, front left tire of the truck we had rented. And I waited. And here comes this wolf, and it's just loping down. I love watching their lope. It's just so calm and peaceful, and it just kept coming. And then, all of a sudden, way off the horizon, I saw one of the buses appear. And the buses, I was like, oh, he's probably going to make the wolf go off the road. So I waited. Now, I always will, I still don't remember why I selected the 7200. Most of the time, I had the old 800 in the truck with me, and that would have made sense. Casey pulled off sooner, I would have gotten something image size in the frame, because like I said, I'm shooting film. It is what it is in a film world. But I had the 7200, and he just kept loping. And in a matter of seems like seconds now, thinking about it, he was right there with me, as in right there with me. I could not even focus. Nope, he come right over to me, right there against the tire, and he sniffed me up and down, back and forth, left and right. He didn't make a sound. He never put his ears back. His ears were forward. He was just looking at me and sniffing at me. And that was that. He loped on past us, and I couldn't hear it. That was a funny thing. I couldn't hear him making footfalls on that gravel. That bugged me. Couldn't hear him coming towards me and couldn't hear him going away. So I counted to five, turned around, look, he was gone. He wasn't on the road. I didn't see him anywhere. He disappeared. And later that day, Sharon and I, for the first time, heard the songsters of the wilderness calling off in the distance. I was hooked. I was hooked. Now, wolf encounters, unfettered wolf encounters, are nearly impossible. The one place we go to enjoy wolves is Yellowstone, which is one place you're not going to have an unfettered encounter. No, not at all. Especially when you hear, a couple weeks ago, I was being told about one photographer that now has a lifetime ban in Yellowstone because of their actions with wolves. Yeah. They were so horrendous, for lack of better terms, they're no longer allowed in Yellowstone, rest of their life. So when you have that side of the photographer coin, they've got to manage for the worst, right? Because if something goes wrong, we get back in our vehicles and we drive back and have dinner and sleep in our rooms and we're comfy. The wolf's dead. Am I being overdramatic? It's probably been 4 years, no, 5 years. There was two cubs, two pups. And at this point, it would have been late fall. It was November-ish. So they were kind of adult size. And people were feeding them crap, like corn chips and stuff. And wolves are, in many ways, just dogs. Dogs eat all that stuff. Well, they kind of got habituated. And a week after we saw them, they got hit by a car and killed. So it is a serious thing. So how do you see wolves unfettered? And then how do you photograph them? Well, just like I was mentioning, Mr. Meck, he showed us the way. You got to put in the field time. Got to put in the field time. As I mentioned in the last podcast, I put in over 30 years in Yellowstone. And after 30 years, and it wasn't, keep in mind, it wasn't 24/7, 365. I'd spend about 5-6 weeks a year in the park. But after all that time, finally got to witness a takedown and a kill of a bison. And time is a big part of it. The other part of it is planned luck. Seriously. And planned luck means you can understand, to the best of our knowledge, where they're going, what they've done, and what they might do next. And each pack's got such character. It's hard to do. Now, I rely on my friends like Bob and Rick and other people in the park. And I start talking to them about 10 days. And they always know when I'm coming over because I'll start saying, what's happening? What are you seeing? And when I'm there, I do the same thing. I tell them where I've been and what I've seen. And I give them kind of biological clock time kind of information. And then from there, you kind of just plan your luck. Plan on being in the right place at the right time. And it sometimes worked, like it did a couple weeks ago, and we got to see the takedown and the kill. So the first thing you got to know in photographing these guys is they're really big German shepherds. So the more lens you have, two things are going to happen. One, you can be physically further away, which means the National Park Service will let you enjoy your encounter because there are way too many people try to walk right up to them. And that's just not necessary. As soon as you do that, it ruins it for everybody, including the wolves. So the longer the lens you've got, the better it is. As soon as you get the long lens out, you have to worry about heat shimmer. Yeah, it could be minus 20. That sun still bounces off that snow. You still get heat shimmer. That can cause things just to be not in focus. And if that's the case, if you see that going on, you have to realize you need to take a bigger burst than normal. So let's just say, for example, you've got a wolf that's posed and you've got him, let's say, filling half the frame. And the AF kind of wavers a little bit, and you look through the viewfinder, you're not really sure it's tack sharp. You've got heat shimmer. When you have that scenario, you got to rip off 20 or 40 frames because somewhere in that 20 to 40 frames will be one shot where the heat shimmer will lay down enough you'll get sharp eyes. It takes a lot of time and patience. And that's probably the next most important tool you have after that long lens and knowing how to deal with heat shimmer is taking a deep breath. Being a panic photographer, it just doesn't work. When you, for lack of better terms, camp out, you hold still, you don't move, you just wait it out, things always happen. They always do. Wolves, I can't count the number of times where I've heard them. You've got to realize that I love listening to these songsters and their howls. They've learned, they can tell individuals and distances and places and what's going on from their old howls. It's not just a song. It's amazing. And the number of times I've heard that and I've just stopped and I've parked. You don't see nothing, nowhere. And sometimes you can use ravens to find where those wolves are doing their things. But I'm here to tell you, if you just park, I'm talking about Yellowstone right now, Denali doesn't work as the same. But in Yellowstone, you just park, you'd be surprised what will happen in the next 60 minutes. You have to keep doing a 360. What does that mean? That means that probably every 3 to 4 minutes, I'll do a complete 360. I turn and look slowly, and I look at all the shapes continually. I keep doing it over and over again. The number of times I've seen just a pair of ears and eyes on a horizon line, I've lost track. And that might be my only viewing of a wolf. But they are such an engaging critter that when you do it right, and you know in your gut, and those of you who don't do it right, you know what I'm talking about because I've yelled at you out there because we are the guests in their homes, and they have a really hard life. And it's amazing what they do on a daily basis. But when you go out there and you do it right, there is nothing more rewarding than to be kneeling against a tire in the middle of Alaskan territory with nobody else around, and a wolf comes up, gives you 1, 2, 3 sniff over, and then just evaporates back into the wilderness. The songsters of the wilderness. What a critter. You folks have a marvelous week. You guys up in my neighborhood, stay warm. And remember to get out and shoot and make every click your story.